Good morning. It's good to see you guys today. And man, I'm just so thankful. I just want you to know I'm so thankful to be your pastor. And I don't know of any, I really don't know of any greater blessing as a pastor than when people listen to your preaching. You know, and after church, it's like one of those things where it's like, you can tell the real spiritual folk in a church because they'll come up to you afterwards and I'm like, you know that joke you told? Oh, that was great, you know? And I'm like, well, what'd you get out of the message? Well, the joke that you said was really good, right? But this week, it was very obvious that someone had been listening to the messages and the preaching. And I had just this dear, dear, sweet woman come to my office this week, and she brought me a bag full of Diet Cokes and Pop-Tarts and what else was in there? Nutty Bars. Yeah. Because she knew that I don't like sharing with my kids, and so she was enabling my sin. But either way, she listened. And then this morning, I was walking by my wife's office, and I saw her mailbox, and I saw a card that said Pastor Jason. And I said, well, that's not her. That's not for her. That's for me. And so I pulled the card out, and there was another thing of strawberry Pop-Tarts in there. And I said, well, man, these people are starting to listen to the Word of God. And so one year, I was talking, and I was, because I just love food, and I go through seasons of different things that I like, you know, and I had this thing for months that I love Fruity Pebbles. You know, it's just one of those things that you eat, super not healthy, and I'm going to talk about eating healthy today in the message a little bit, but I just, you know, every once in a while, I like eating things that aren't good for you. Can I get an amen on that, right, amen? Amen. It just makes you feel good for like 10 minutes, and then afterwards you have a Fruity Pebble hangover, right? And no kidding, I am a bit socially awkward at times. I know that sounds weird, but sometimes I get that way. And someone in our previous church, and don't do this to me. If you do this, I'm going to bring you up in the business meeting tonight. We're going to vote you out. But someone in that church, they got me 23 boxes of Fruity Pebbles and did a scavenger hunt all over the church building, as if I had time for that. But I spent an entire afternoon, and I had to fill my entire car up with Fruity Pebbles and said, you know, the Bible says blessed are those that listen to the word of the Lord. And so, you know, John said, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. So keep the Pop-Tarts coming, all right? Anyways, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I'm going to read one verse for you today, and then we're going to jump in. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You know, we've been teaching on the Beatitudes the last several weeks, and we're going to be in here for a few more weeks. And one of the things that I was sitting here thinking about this morning on the front row in terms of the Beatitudes and thinking about our graduates and all the young people that are represented by Southgate today is that I want to be really clear today that the Christianity as a whole, the church, Big C Church, Universal, we are losing an entire generation. Because there is a disconnect between who we are and what we do. There's a disconnect between the things that we say and how we act. And that was really, in many ways, the reality in the days of Jesus. The Pharisees acted one way, but who they actually were, the character and the life they lived did not bear out a life that had been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by a life committed to knowing and following and pursuing a relationship with the one who would ultimately transform them from the inside out. And so in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. We've entitled it the Kingdom Manifesto, and that's basically Jesus giving us his intentions and saying, this is what I want those who follow me to be like. This is who I want you to be, and in being this person, this is how you should live. And what we've entitled this is the Kingdom Manifesto, and we've been talking about what it means to be a kingdom maker. Those who live for and represent the kingdom of God. And if you follow Jesus Christ this morning, we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We represent an eternal kingdom and a kingdom to come, not necessarily a kingdom that we're currently in. In fact, we live subversively, if you will, and we live underneath this culture to bring about the kingdom that God wants represented in this world and in the world to come. And so we realize that kingdom makers live with a radical abandon, and in so doing, they live lives that are blessed. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that is blessed. Amen? Oh, man, that's weak sauce. Come on. Amen? I mean, some of you are like, no, I want my life to be horrible. I want a life that's blessed. Amen? I want to live a life that God prospers, a life that in the economy of God, I want my life to be defined as successful the way that God determines success. Kingdom makers are more concerned with who God wants them to be rather than what God wants them to do. And so what we've been thinking about, what we've been considering over these last several weeks, is this idea of who God wants us to become. And that always begins with our character. It begins internally, not externally. And that's why a lot of people come to church and they're like, man, I'll go to church or I'll follow Christ once I clean up my life. No, man, God wants you to follow him right now where you are. That's the plan. God doesn't want you to clean yourself up. God just wants you to begin a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. So kingdom makers, and in the kingdom of God, there's this radical rejection of every value and point of view that keeps people in bondage to untruth, blinded to Christ's endless mercy. And in God's kingdom, kingdom makers are blessed, successful, prosperous, but only when the character of Christ is developed in their hearts and in their lives. So in God's kingdom, success isn't defined by your possessions. It's not defined by popularity. It's determined by your pursuit of God's plan and God's purpose in your life. And as a kingdom maker, someone living out the Beatitudes, someone living out the manifesto of God's kingdom, our lifestyle choices appear to be absurd and somewhat awkward in a world that defines success and prosperity and blessing altogether different than the way that Jesus does in this particular passage of Scripture. In fact, our lifestyle choices are absurd, they are awkward, and our affection for the kingdom supersedes the pull to settle for less in our lives. And that's what we do as followers of Jesus. We fail to pursue a world that offers us less because Jesus has offered us more. We're going to talk about what that means today, because our big idea is this, is that your hunger, what you long for in life, what your soul aches for, longs for, can either be a pathway to personal blessing or to burden. You see, hunger reveals our need. It reveals by God's design a desire to be fulfilled. Like, I hunger for this, I long for this, I desire this, I want this in my life. That's what hunger is. Now, I find myself often searching for satisfaction, success, and even prosperity in pursuits and goals that leave me wanting for more. I don't know about you, but I do that sometimes. It's like rolling up to a Chinese buffet and crushing it, and then 2 hours later starving, right? It just seems that way sometimes in life when we pursue things that are outside of God's design. It leaves us empty. Now, I imagine many of you have had moments of reflection where you're asking yourself, is there more to life than the hamster wheel of monotony? I mean, what is really significant? What really adds meaning to my life? What is really prosperity and success look like for me? What does it look like for me as a follower of Jesus Christ? I was thinking about this week, and I'm like thinking about athletes that train to the height of their profession. And let's just say, take football, for example, or baseball, and you go and you win the World Series or you win the Super Bowl. And you've trained your entire life to throw a ball or to catch a ball or to run on a field. And at 30, maybe 20, you reach the pinnacle of everything that you've worked for, and you win. And you wake up the next morning and you're like, what's next? Because everything I just worked for is now over. I don't know about you, but if and when you find yourself struggling with purpose, maybe peace, maybe even pleasure, what we need to understand this morning in this text is that Jesus is inviting you and me to pursue his righteousness as the ultimate fulfillment in our life. And that's why we want to talk about this morning. There's three thoughts that I want us to consider today that I think can help us understand better how our hunger can be a pathway to either burden or blessing. Because see, first of all, many of us today are living hungry and not happy. Many of us today are living very hungry, very unsatisfied, very unfulfilled in our life, but yet we're not happy. In this passage, Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Jesus is sharing a warning, but he's also sharing a way forward for those who follow him. He's sharing a warning, and he's sharing a way forward. Now, this truth brings to light the dilemma that many of us have, that they are unsatisfied with their life and their purpose, and there's this hunger, if you will, this unfulfilled sensation in our soul that we struggle with. And many of us know several people who struggle with their personal joy and peace and purpose in life. In fact, we all know people who go from one thing to the next and they're never happy and they're never satisfied. They're often restless. Maybe you're that person. And maybe you feel lost and unfulfilled with your own life. And this is why God is more concerned with who you are rather than what you do. God is so much more concerned with who we are and our character and our life and our internal man. We were created for something more. Young people, I want you to know this. As you step into college and as you step in, many of our young people are graduating college. And as you step into college, as you step into your career, as you step into marriage, as you step into life, and all the different things that life offers us, man, we need to really understand that God has made us for more. God has made us for so much more, and we often settle for so much less. And God has made us for more, his kingdom. He wants us to live for something eternal, something significant. And Jesus is affirming this truth when he says, "Blessed are those who are hungry and those who are thirsty." You see, kingdom makers seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says as much in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." So for kingdom makers, it's not an afterthought, it's not the second thought. Seeking first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God is the ultimate priority of everyone who knows and follows Jesus. And in following Jesus and in seeking first the kingdom of God and seeking first the righteousness of God, we find out the person that God wants us to become. Now quite frankly, let's just be honest for a moment. Seeking first God's kingdom above an education, or a spouse, or a companion, or a career, and on and on and on and on we can go, it seems absurd, and it seems somewhat, if we're honest, upside down. You're telling me that if I put Jesus first, my life will be more fulfilled? You're telling me that if I put the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God and something I've never seen before ahead of my own personal ambitions, my own desires, my own drive for sin, you really think that I'm going to be happy? No, I don't think that. I just know what Jesus said, and I know it to be true. Amen? I know that. It appears inverted. And it's tempting. It is. It's tempting to look around and see so many people living in pursuit of their will rather than God's will, pursuing false hope that the world offers, pursuing false success. And I mean, we look at celebrities and we look at athletes and we think, man, they look so happy. I want what they have. They have money. They have private jets. They go to amazing destinations and do vacations, and it just seems like a lot of fun, right? Amen? Come on, all right? Doesn't it seem that way? Amen? Well, they have everything they want. No one ever tells them no. Man, that'd be an awesome world to live in, right? I think about this a lot. I look at Tiger Woods. I'm a Gen Xer. In 97, he blew the field and won the Masters, right, Chuck? All right, good. The Masters in Augusta. Well, I don't know. He doesn't play golf. He's a basketball player. Whatever. But he won the Masters, man. And then, I mean, for like years, I'm talking years, I don't know this has ever happened, he was the number one golfer in the world. I mean, it was phenomenal what he did, and everyone thought he was going to beat Jack Nicklaus's records. And he married a Swedish supermodel, right? I mean, right? He's got his own shoe. He calls Nike. I need new clubs. I need new shoes. I need golf. I mean, everything was going great for him. And then he gets in a car accident and it comes out that he has been living promiscuously for years and covering up and hiding. And listen, you don't get to the height of the world and in your profession and go and do that if you're happy. If you're fulfilled, if life is so good and you're accomplishing everything that you set out to do, you don't go set your world on fire. I think of Kate Spade. Kate Spade came up with these incredible, and see, now I'm going to touch the men, now the women. We're going to cover all the bases today, right? Wonderful, fashionistic handbags, right? And I mean, she launched a $1 billion fashion company. And just in the last few years, she took her own life. I think about Marcus Pearson, and some of the young people will know who that is. But he developed a game, a little game called Minecraft, right? And he sold it to Microsoft for $3.5 billion. Billion dollars. I'd be happy with a million, but he took $3.5 billion. He tweets out in 2015, hanging out, listen to this, hanging out in Ibiza with a bunch of friends, partying with famous people, able to do whatever I want. And listen to what he says. Never felt so isolated. He created a game. He created a game, and he's in Ibiza with a bunch of famous people, hanging out with his friends, and he's all alone. How do you get to the pinnacle of what we would think is life and say, I'm not happy? You know, Puff Daddy. I'm going way back to the Gen Xers. Puff Daddy, before he's P. Diddy, and then Diddy, and then, you know, Sean Combs, right? I think he said it best when he said, more money, more problems, right? The more money we have, the more problems we have. Can I get an amen? And some of you are like, no, I need some extra money right now. I'm just quoting you, the great theologian, Puff Daddy. Here's the thing, man. If we're not careful, we tend to pursue and be defined by the temporal rather than the eternal. Kingdom makers recognize the value of God's will, and every desire we have is intended. Listen, every desire that we have is intended to be met by Jesus. And this is what we were made for. Have you ever traded in on what you were created for by Jesus? And most every person I know, myself included, struggles with recognizing that Jesus is anything and everything we will ever need. Listen, we struggle to believe that. We really struggle to believe that Jesus is anything and everything I will ever need. Some of us are thinking, man, I just need a new car. I'd like a new house. I need to go on vacation. And I'm not saying those are bad desires. I'm not even saying prosperity and success is bad in and of itself. But I know what someone once said was this, is you don't know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Live long enough and you come to understand that there isn't anything in this world that satisfies the emptiness and the purpose of our lives like Jesus. And Steve Jobs tapped into this before he died. Steve Jobs created a mega computer that we all, most of us that aren't nerds, right, that have an Android. If you have an Android, whatever, right? But most of us have an Apple iPhone. And, you know, remember like, you know, back in the day, every year in October, a new iPhone would come out. And some of those Apple nerds would sit outside the Apple store and they would wait for the new edition. As if you couldn't wait 2 weeks for that, right? And that's the thing. That's the funny thing about life. Solomon said this, he said it in Proverbs, he says, the appetite of man is never satisfied. You've got a $1,000 phone in your back pocket and the new one comes out. Well, I got to have it. Got to get it. It's got this update. It's got this upgrade. It's just so odd how so easily we're fooled and lulled into thinking that I got to have this to be happy. I got to have this certain identity. Listen, C.S. Lewis, the author of Mere Christianity, said this. He goes, we're half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who goes on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of holiday at sea. We're far too easily pleased. So what do? We're hungry, but we're not happy. So what do? I would suggest that one of the things that is implied in this text and what Jesus is warning us against and showing us a way forward is to subtract the substitutes. Jesus is challenging us to consider what we're really looking for in satisfaction. What in our life are we substituting for the righteousness and the pursuit of God and Christ himself? So for those who are hungry, the kingdom makers, we take steps to get rid of any false illusion of being satisfied by anything other than Jesus. And it's so hard. It's difficult, near impossible, to be truly satisfied with Jesus when there isn't room for him in our life because we've allowed, listen to this, we've allowed lesser things in life to fill us up. John Piper, in his book on fasting and prayer, his book called The Hunger for God, said, the reason that we have so little room for the glory and the presence of God in our life is because we've sat at the table of the world and we've nibbled away at everything that the world has offered us, and there is no room for the great and the glorious that God has set at the table for those who follow him. Now, I do my best when I don't go on a popped heart bender to eat healthy. I do, I promise. I try to 80% of the time eat clean and eat healthy. And when I mean clean, I mean stuff that's really, the Cloonies are looking at me right now. And she's tipping her head. I know you eat cookies, Pastor Jason. I do, but 80% of the time I really try to eat as healthy as I possibly can. And it's hard, especially when folks in our church invite us over and then Twyla, she makes apple cobbler. I mean, it's just hard. It's like walking into the devil's den, right? Because I love to eat. I love, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is food. But when I do try to eat good, I'll tell my wife, I said, babe, when you're at the store, pick me up some Ezekiel bread. Has anyone ever heard of Ezekiel bread? It's bread. Barely, right? I mean, it's bread you put in your freezer so it doesn't go bad, because if it's a day old, it just goes bad because there's no sugar, there's no preservatives, and it's as clean as you can get. And listen, you can eat a slice of Ezekiel bread and not be hungry for like a week. It's so full of nutrients. That's how clean it is. I'm just kidding. Listen, I try to do that, and here's the reason. You know why I get so full? I can make some tuna salad and throw it on two slices of Ezekiel bread, and I can eat that for lunch and not be hungry the rest of the day. You know why? Because there's nothing in it that is substituting for what's going to bring me the most nutrition and fuel me to do what I'm supposed to do in my work and in my life. And that's the same way it is with God. God wants us to remove the substitutes, the fake preservatives that we think bring us joy. Which leads us to this last thought, and that is, this is the source of satisfaction. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus taught his disciples, the kingdom makers, that their hunger would be satisfied and their hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God alone and Christ alone. This beatitude is dripping with hope for the one who is lost, the one who is seeking, the one who as Betty White would say, is hangry, right? It's like you're angry with life and you're hungry and you're unfulfilled and you're unsatisfied with the way life is unfolding for you. All of that can be reconciled in pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So this word righteousness is a robust word. It's actually a multi-dimensional word. And what we find in righteousness, first of all, is a place of righteousness. We find that. We find that in Christ and the cross, we have hope this morning. You may be here today and you're lost in life. You're unsatisfied. You're unfulfilled. And nothing you seem to pursue, nothing you seem to accomplish feels fulfilling or satisfying. You've gone to church, and that doesn't do the trick. And this morning, Jesus, by way of this text, is offering an invitation to follow him in a relationship, not religion. Your hope is not found in the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Methodist church. It's not found in any denomination. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. That's the only hope in the world. That's the gospel. Now, Southgate Baptist Church, let's get this out on the table. Southgate is a place for sinners. Amen? It's a place for sinners. And you're welcome here. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, rich or poor, gay or straight, married, single, divorced. We believe that Jesus came for us all, and his righteousness can make all things new in our lives, no matter how broken we come to him. Amen? And so we find the place of righteousness, but we also, as followers of Jesus, we pursue righteousness. His disciples pursue the character of Jesus. And this is where we get mixed up in the church. Because we think we pursue rules, and we think we pursue religion. Jesus says, no, follow me. He's talking in the midst of the Pharisees. The Pharisees followed all the rules, but they were mean, and they were jerks. And sadly, many churches fall into this category. And Jesus says, no, I'm giving you a different way. Kingdom makers believe that who they are is more important than what they do. I just keep saying this because I just think we're so knuckleheaded and stubborn that we feel good about ourselves if we keep the rules. So I'm going to keep saying this over and over in this series and all year long, that Jesus is more concerned with who we are, not what we do. And we recognize that if we're ever going to be blessed, if we're ever going to be happy, if we're ever going to be prosperous in this life and the life to come, it will be to the degree that we humbly pursue the life and the heart of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Kingdom makers relentlessly pursue the righteousness of God. There's a reckless abandon for anything that weakens the pursuit of the will of God in our life. This means we are pursuing, listen, we are pursuing who Jesus wants us to be. It means in loving and being so like Jesus that we spread his love and his righteousness to our ball leagues, our families, our jobs, and to the broken places that we find ourselves in. Young people, I want to encourage you today, never settle for what this world offers. Never settle. Don't cheapen the life that God has for you by caving and compromising to the values of this world. You get one life. You get one life. That's it. And I'm going to be honest with you. It goes by fast. Right? Amen? These high school students, man, they're just like, man, I just want to get my license. I just want to get my diploma. I just want to go to college. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to get a job. And then you get all that and you're like, now what? Right? I want to retire. I want to die. Like, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here. Like, what's next? Right? And if you cave and if you compromise, young people, you're going to miss out on some of the greatest blessings and miracles that God has for you. Don't settle. Let the hunger for more lead you to a place of fulfillment, not forfeiture. Young people, please write that down today. Let your hunger for more lead you to a place of fulfillment, not forfeiture. A place of fulfillment, not forfeiture. And so we see the place of righteousness. We see the pursuit of it, but I want you to see what is the purpose of seeking righteousness. Hungering and thirsting and being so satisfied in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, the reason is so that everyone will be blessed by the gospel. Kingdom makers are so gripped by the gospel and the life of Jesus that they are motivated to see others experience the life-transforming power of Jesus himself. Let me ask you this, and this is a profound question. Just let me ask you this, all of us today, young and old alike. How incredible would it feel to be satisfied with everything in your life right now? How incredible would that feel, right? How amazing would it be to have such a sense of fulfillment that those around you were blessed by your own personal satisfaction? Come on, amen? See, here's the thing, and this is where the disconnect is for the younger generation. We talk about, oh, I'm a follower of Christ. My life is good. I'm so thankful that I'm a part of the family of God. And then we go and complain and gripe and act like nerds to everyone else. We do that. There is a disconnect between who we are and who we follow and the life that we're supposed to be living, and we miss out on actually blessing others by the life-transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God help us as a church to bridge that gap so that we don't lose a generation of young people that need to know and understand the gospel message of Jesus. There's going to be some people that God put in your life this week that need that kind of blessing. And where will your hunger take you in that moment? Will you be the hands and feet of Jesus? Will you be the church out there just like we are the church in here? Your family, your church, this community, they need someone who's hungry and thirsting for righteousness. They need to see the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Listen, our communities don't need Republicans or Democrats. God help us, right? They're all messed up. Our communities, they don't need social work. They need followers of Jesus Christ who will love them into the kingdom of God. The greatest need this world has today is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Man, I hate that we're going through a season of inflation. The toxicity in our government, in our world right now, over the social issues and perils of our day, that's not lost on me. But if Roe v. Wade is overturned, amen. But what people need more than an overturn in a Supreme Court is to know where they're going to spend eternity forever. They need to know. Because could you imagine if some of these moms came to know Christ, abortion wouldn't even be on the table. It doesn't matter what the laws of the land are. When people live by the kingdom of God and they live by a relationship with Jesus Christ, the laws aren't necessary because we're living for a world that is to come, not the world that is here. That's the crazy thing about kingdom makers. They abandon the pursuits, their pursuits, for the purposes of Jesus. So I want to ask you today, I want to ask the church today, what in your life do you need to abandon? What do you need to subtract from your life that's distracting you from a passion-filled pursuit of all that God has for you in this life and the life to come? Proverbs 11:19 says, "For whoever is steadfast in righteousness, whoever is steadfast in righteousness, listen to this, that person will live." And that's not just talking about living in eternity. That's talking about living, I'm talking, living life, man. Living life. I don't know about you, but when I was a high school student and I played sports, I wanted to be in the game. I didn't want to just go to practice. I didn't just want to be one of the guys that got to wear the jersey. You know what I'm saying? And if that's you, I'm sorry, right? I just didn't want to do that. I wanted to be in the game. When the shot was called for, I wanted to shoot the shot. When the play needed to be made, I wanted to make the play. I'm telling you, I'm the same way now. When it comes to being a part of what God is doing in this world and what God wants to do to advance the kingdom of God, I want to be on the front lines. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the front lines. I want to be a part of seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. I want to be a part of putting marriages back together. I want to be a part of seeing young people live their life for something other than what the rest of the world is living their life for. I just want to be on the front lines. I want to be in the game. And that's what he's saying in this passage of Scripture. Whoever said fast and righteous, they're going to live. They're going to be in the game. They're going to be a part of something significant, something supernatural, something miraculous. And every one of us are invited into this. No one's exempt. No one's left out. It's just we often are distracted and filled with other things that are less than what God has for us. I get it, man. It's absurd to give up your desire. It's absurd to think this way. Hey, you want me to give up my desire? You want me to give up my ambitions? To only find greater delight in Christ? Absolutely. I'm 43 years old. I'm not at all advanced in age. I feel like it at times. My kids think I'm old. But what do they know, right? Amen. Thank you. I finally got an amen today without asking for it. Appreciate that. Was that Sal Chell over there? Was that you? God bless you, brother. I'm going to pray for you this week. You know, right? But I'm telling you, being in gospel ministry for 20 years, I look at people's lives and I look at what they forfeit. I look at what they substitute for what they think is going to bring them happiness. And I can tell you by being on the front lines and being a part of people's lives that every time they sacrifice what they want to serve Christ, they find so much more joy, fulfillment, peace, and purpose in their life than when they forfeit what God wants for them. Could you imagine what it would be like to be completely satisfied regardless of your situation because you made a decision to go all in with Jesus. And the next time you sense this longing and hungering and an unsatisfied feeling in your soul, you can ask the question this way, what have I substituted in my life for the righteousness of Jesus Christ? What have I substituted? Imagine how free you'd be to live out your God-given purpose if you were truly satisfied in the life that God had given you. So let me ask you today, and then I'm done. What path is your hunger taking you on? Please write that down today. What path is your hunger taking you on? Is it taking you to a place of greater fulfillment, greater joy, greater satisfaction, greater success, greater prosperity? Or is your hunger taking you on a place of forfeiture and unfulfillment? Are you on a path of fulfillment or on a path that forfeits every good thing that God has waiting for those who obey? Instead of following the path of the world, decide to live for the kingdom by pursuing righteousness. And I promise you, I guarantee you, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never. That's why Jesus said to the woman, "Well, hey, look, I'm the water that you drink, that you'll never have a thirst again. I'm the bread of life. You eat of this and you'll never hunger again." Jesus is the way to blessing. Jesus is the way to success. Jesus is the way to fulfillment. Because success isn't measured by what we achieved. Listen to this. What Jesus is saying in our text today, success is measured not in what we achieve. Success is measured by who we become. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you say to me this morning, "Pastor Jason, I certainly know that Christ is my Savior. I know with a certainty that I am forgiven of my sins. I'm right with God. And if I were to slip out into eternity today, I know that heaven is my home." Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, no one's looking around. How many of you could raise your hand and give testimony to the fact that you know Christ personally as your Savior? You just lift your hand up today. Now, how many of you'd say to me this morning, "Pastor Jason, I'm uncertain about whether or not I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins, and I don't know that if I were to slip out into eternity today that heaven is my home." Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Is there anyone that's like that's here today? And let me pray with you this day. No one's looking around. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Thank you so much, young man. Anyone else? Man, I just want you to pray for me today. Now, how many of you say to me this morning, "Pastor, if I'm being honest with God, I'm being honest with myself, I'm going to be transparent about this, but I'm hungry and I'm not happy. And there are parts of my life that are so unfulfilled. And there are parts of my life where I'm distracted and I'm filled up with the things of this world, and there's no room for the great and glorious presence of God and His purpose in my life, and I want that to change today." Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you today? Amen, 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 amen. All right, folks, let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father in heaven, I pray for this young man with boldness that raised his hand today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that he would find those answers by maybe talking to me or someone that brought him today. No greater decision in life to be made than the one that's made to follow Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today for our church. I know in my own life, in my preaching today, the words that I've said, that I've preached more in 30 minutes than I could possibly live in a lifetime. In fact, there are times and seasons in my life where I have allowed my life to be filled with the things of this world, bringing me to a place that is certainly unsatisfactory, where I've substituted the good gifts of God tasteless, unfulfilling pursuits of this world. So, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for being distracted. Forgive me for allowing those substitutes in my life. And God, I just publicly, right now, in this moment, confess my own sin to you. And I pray, Lord, that we as a church could do that today, that we would confess our sin. We would recognize it for what it is. And we would see this passage as a warning and as a way forward and as a beacon of hope for those of us who want to live lives that are significant, live lives that actually have meaning and purpose, regardless of how old we are today. God, please speak into our hearts today and let the Holy Spirit convict us, change us, and guide us in the days ahead. We just ask these things in your precious, wonderful name. Amen. Church, would you do this for me today? If God's spoken to you today, if you've made some substitutes in your life, if you've made some decisions where you found yourself in a place that's not fulfilling, would you be honest enough with God to just accept the invitation today? God, man, blessed are the hungry and thirsty. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're going to be filled. Jesus said, look, I have got a banquet table ready. We've got prime rib. We've got steak. We've got twice baked. It's the table set, bro. The table is ready to go. And God is offering a feast in our lives. We just got to come sit at the table. So I'm going to ask you this morning, man, if God's spoken to you on this first note, would you come and just talk to God and say, God, help me move forward in the way that